everybody. Pastor Buddy, I'm joining you live tonight, right here around the world on WWRB 3.185, Clear Channel, around the world. Amazing. We're also simulcast tonight on the internet, and for your listening pleasure, we're coming in here with part three of self-discipline. Tonight we're going to go to the third part after we establish self-discipline, and then we're gonna come together as the ecclesia of what is known in English as a church, and a body of disciplined beings formed together in oneness. One heart, one soul, one mind, one faith, one Yahweh, one baptism, one way into the kingdom, and one way out. Now, what do you mean by one way out, Pastor Buddy? Well, you know that the Bible gives the church, the ecclesia, a authorized mandate to conduct business both on earth and in heaven. I don't know whether you know that or not, but we're going to show you exactly what we mean by that, by saying that the church has got the will, if it's got the will, if it's got the intestinal fortitude, if it loves structure, if it loves discipline. Now, if you're a self-disciplined person, and you come together with a righteous brother, and he's learned discipline, then that's the two, and two can't walk together unless they be agreed, and the threefold cord is not easily broken. So when you get in the mouth of two or three witnesses authorized to establish the power that was once delivered unto the saints, we're going to talk about that tonight. So you call a friend and a neighbor, and tell them that Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call is on the air tonight. I'd like to give you a little card that one of my good friends sent me here. And the title of it is, My Name is I Am. Now, you know the causative verb to be I Am Haya, Eliasher Haya, which is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh in the Hebrew, Yahweh, using the vowels in the English. And that's approved by over 95% of the Hebrew scholars, that Yahweh is the way that you would pronounce it. We got these that run around, and they think that they're something, and they're running, they're saying something different. Ladies and gentlemen, how are you going to say Yah? When you say Yah, you've said it all. Now, let me read this to you. I was regretting the past. Most people do that. They want, you know, the past has been so terrible, they can't get over the hump. I was fearing the future. Most of us are apprehensive. And the Bible said fear has torment. And that's basically where we're at today. And then I heard the Eternal One speaking to me. And he said, My name is I Am. He paused. I waited. And then he continued, When you live in the past with all its mistakes and regrets, it's hard. I am not there. My name is not I was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I will be. When you live in the moment of the present, it is not hard. I am here. My name is I Am. And ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that tonight, if you believe the great I Am was sent to establish authority, first of all, to make you a soldier. And when you go through the training, the infiltration course of reality and purpose, and you learn not to be heady and high-minded, and you learn to be loving and kind and gracious and long-suffering and apt to teach and to show yourself friendly to gain brothers and sisters. But yet, you have a certain authority about you when you come together as a group. Now, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19, listen to this now. given to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever that you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever that thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, that is a powerful authority for the established, disciplined brethren and sisters to come together and to be focused on the great power that was once delivered and to the saints. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll assure you tonight that the love of many has waxed cold. And when the love of many waxes cold, you can't do many mighty works when there's no love, because love has a reason. And tough love, we call it tough love, when you have to go to your brother and your sister or your immediate superior. Sometimes, you know, you might have to do that when you rein somebody in. I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. That's the church now. That's the ecclesia, or body of baptized believers in one faith, one Yahweh, and one baptism, and whatever you bind on earth. Now, we have a saying in our prayer circle, and we form a prayer circle on the sacred altar with 12 stones representing the 12 tribes, and the 4 stones in the middle, which represents the great name of the king. That is, if you will, that is the foundation of the altar. That's how the altar is designed. And yet you will not find, it's probably not a dozen altars in the United States of America. Ain't that a shame? And I guarantee you that there is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of altars in the United States in the bellbox churches of a wooden platform. No scripture whatsoever. No scripture. When you stand on an altar that is designed and created and instituted and brought forth with the authority and the discipline, you see, the Creator gave this to us. And He told men how to build altars and how to stand on it. And He said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And yet, people do not believe, as the ecclesia, a body of baptized believers, they just can't make themselves have that authority and make that command. The Bible said to rebuke those that are disorderly among you. Notice again, Matthew 18 and 18, verily I say unto you, now listen to this now, whatsoever that you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the ecclesia, or the body of baptized believers, what we call in the English the church body, do you believe that it has the authority through the disciplines of Yahweh's word and His command and His authorization to have this much power in a body? I've seen people that literally laughed about Yahweh's laws and commands and altars, and they lost their life. Now, the Bible said, lest you be found fighting against Yahweh. Now, if Yahweh's for you, who's going to be against you? If He's against you, who's going to be for you? You have this power whatsoever I say unto you, not to me. Yahweh wasn't talking to Himself. He's talking to His body of baptized believers of unity and one faith and discipline. Now, you've got to be right with Yahweh before that you have any power or authority to exercise Matthew 18 and 18. Write this down in your Bible. Write Matthew 16 and 19 down. These are the two most powerful scriptures given in detail to give the ecclesia the power that was once delivered to the saints. And the Bible said you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, to do this, you've got of maintain sound doctrine. I'm going to give you 10 things that you've got to do in the disciplines of the ecclesia, of a body of baptized believers. In 1 Timothy, the chapter 1, verse 3, I besought thee to abide still at Epaphras, when I went to Macedonia, that you mightest charge some of them that they teach no other doctrine than that which I have delivered unto them. Now, Paul was adamant. Peter was adamant. They argued in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. I mean, they got down to the nitty-gritty. They looked one another in the eye. Why is it that most men want to go behind your back and say something, and they ain't got enough intestinal fortitude to come and look you now? The Bible said if you have an ought against your brother, you go to him and him alone. That maintains sound doctrine. Look at this one, Titus 1:13. This witness that I have of the ecclesia is true. Wherefore, rebuke those in the body sharply, that they might be sound in the faith. Rebuke. Now, open rebuke is better than secret love. And so then, the authorized ecclesia, or the body of oneness, a group of brothers and sisters bound together in unity and fellowship and joy and tears and pain and sorrow and power to bind on earth those that should be bound on earth, and to loose those on earth that should be loosed, and to bind those in heaven that should be bound. And he said, I didn't know we had power to bind anything in heaven. Did you know that the god of this hour, Satan, the god of this world, that he rides through the heavens going to and fro, as it's recorded in the book of Job chapter 3 and chapter 1, that he had the power, at least he said he had it. And you know the devil's got no more power than you give him or you get. He come to steal your power. And if he's ruling the ecclesia, if he's in the body, and he's bringing schisms, if he's, you know, it's like a cancer, it's like a bad apple in the barrel. If you let that bad apple stay in the barrel, it's going to spoil the whole barrel. Separate yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and shun him, or rebuke him, that he might be sound in the faith. Titus 1:13. Now, let me show you what the power of the ecclesia, the authorized to establish, has. Ordering its affairs in the daily lives of those who are believers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 34, Paul was talking about when you come together, this is not to eat and drink and just use it as a place to hang out for the fish and the loaf. If any man hunger, let him eat at home. When you come together into this condemnation, for if the only thing that you've come to eat the fish and the loaf, like the Messiah said, see, Paul was still having this problem. The Messiah had this problem. He said, you don't follow me for the truth and the hard sayings. You don't follow me for getting down to the nitty gritty and suffering with me, to reign with me. You follow me for the fish and the loaves. And he said, don't let this condemnation come into your assembly. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of things that needs to be set in order in the ecclesia. And that means that we rule with authority and take the authority and command through the word of Yahweh in Matthew 16:18-19 to maintain sound doctrine in order our affairs. And we must, by all means, rebuke the offenders. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. Listen to me well tonight as we go into the government of the ecclesia, a sound body of sound minds and sound men and women that are pressing toward the mark and the high calling which is in Yahweh. 1 Timothy 5 and 20. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others may fear. You know, when Sapphira and Ananias, when they had pledged a certain amount, it was their love. You ain't got zip. James told you. He said, if you turn your brother away and you turn your face to the rich, he said, do you not know that the rich oppress the poor and beat you out of your wages? Did you know that the rich in this nation, we're turning our nation over to a bunch of rich international bankers, and they're beating us to death? If we took command, and I've got brothers and sisters that can tell you that we have actually gone on our altar and cursed the devil and his army. We bound them in the heavens, and we bound up on the earth. We've seen major changes here in the last 10 years. I've seen major changes because we rebuked them that sinned, that others may fear. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. The instant in season, out of season, reprove, there it is, rebuke, oh my, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, that a man might be fully furnished to the good works of the body of the ecclesia, because we are ministers of the faith authorized to establish the keys to the kingdom, which is, you shall bind anything on earth, it'll be bound in heaven. The church has got a tremendous amount of power. Yet you can't be wishy-washy, and you can't be half in and half. When you get fully in, I'll tell you, the Bible said that when all of these things happened down at the church of Pentecost, it says that when all these things began to be noised abroad, that no man dared to join themselves to them because they were afraid. These men spoke with authority. This was the ecclesia authorized to establish fear in the body. If the body don't fear, if there's no reprimands, if there's no correction, if there's no reproving, if there's no rebuking, if none of these things are in the body, then the body will begin. If you don't take anything that can grow a weed, or anything that will accept a bad apple in the barrel and can't get rid of the apple, you're going to kill, you're going to spoil, you're going to rot the whole barrel. Preach the word. Be instant in season. 2 Timothy 4 and 2. 1 Timothy 5 and 20. Rebuke them that sin, that others may fear. Yahweh wants you to teach fear. Reverence fear. Did you know that Adam hid himself? But it was a carnal fear. Because of his sins? This was a godly fear. Do you fear the body as a powerful instrument authorized to establish the keys of the kingdom? And whatsoever you bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. You really believe that? Is there a group of people on the earth that has that power and has that authority to say, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever that you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven? You believe that? I say, well, I just went to Sunday school back then. I know it's more than that. Let me tell you something. Removing the offenders is part of the process of exercising the authority to establish a faith of a body of believers that trust only in Yahweh's word and the government of that body to keep it clean and keep the weeds. You know, if you give a devil enough rope, and I've said this before, if you give a devil enough rope, he'll hang himself sooner or later. There's no problem with that, ladies and gentlemen. That's just nature. Judas was a Judas goat from the very beginning, and yet he was religious. Oh yeah, he was right in the body of the government. He was a treasurer. Oh man, he got right up where the money was at. But the Bible said he was a thief, and the Bible said that the devil come not but to steal, kill, and steal. Steal, kill, and destroy. Verily, verily, I say unto you, to remove these obstinate Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3. For verily I say unto you, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that have done this deed. In the name of Yahweh, that when you are gathered together, that it is the power of the ecclesia, the authorized to establish authority, and in my spirit with the power of the Messiah to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit must be saved in the day of the coming of the Messiah. Turn such a one over to what? Turn him over to Satan? To deliver such a one to Satan? You believe the church has got that power? I'm saying, well, I don't know. I've never heard that in the Bible. I know they had it in that day. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same as he was yesterday. He's the same as he is today, and he'll be the same forever. And that's why that my name is I Am. And when you know that you're living in the now, not in the past and not in the future, you're living in the now. And when you speak his name with authority to establish power, to have the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. But them that are without God judge. Therefore put away from among you yourselves that wicked person. Put away. Put them away. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander is of those whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they learn not to blaspheme. I'm telling you what, he can make a believer out of you when you're turned over to Satan. When Satan crawls in bed with you at night, and you can hear his grunting, he's a beast, ladies and gentlemen. When he starts speaking in your ear, morbid, vile affections and things, and turns you over to a reprobated mind by the power of the ecclesia, who has power to turn you over to Satan to teach you not to blaspheme. That is what Paul said. I'm just giving you the order of the ecclesia in power and edification. Listen to this. Hebrews 13 and 17, if you don't think you've got to obey, you listen to this one. Obey them, that's the elders. The elders are to watch for your soul. Deacons are to wait on the tables of the widows. That's what a deacon, you see, deacons have a lot of power. No, it's the elders that have the power. Deacons only are to wait on those who, you take a sister, a widow. She can't be taken into the assembly under 60 years old, because the Bible says she'll wax wanton and want to marry. But if she's over 60 and she's over her sexual desires to have a man to sleep with her, then the deacon becomes her husband, basically, spiritually speaking. He's to wait on her. He's to see if she has any needs. He's to go and visit her, and if she's in the assembly, he's to wait on her. That's what deacons are for. They're not to run the ecclesia. It's the elders that run the ecclesia, and they have to be appointed. And we're going to read you here where they went and appointed elders in every city and every ecclesiastic authorized group that they established. They established elders. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. Well, I've had them say, oh, good, reign over me, bless God. But if you're a member of a body, and you don't want to be cut off and forsaken and turned over to Satan, you better fear Yahweh. When the elders speak, you better listen. You better take a warning. I preached a message that the Holy Ghost was delivering to me in the year of 2005, and a bunch of hyenas people, spirits that came in. You see, the devil come to kill, steal, and destroy. when I got back to that fellowship there in Andrews, North Carolina, I never seen such a bunch of it says Hymenaeus, and I call him Hyena. You know what a hyena is? It's a vicious dog. And I believe the name is associated in that manner. Paul said, whom I have delivered unto Satan that they learn not to blaspheme. Well, I guarantee you one thing. When you turn them over to Satan and he moves in, he'll do his job. Obey them that have rule over you. Hebrews again, 13:17. If you think the ecclesia don't have the elders that are established elders in the and if they're holy and just and long suffering and patient and sober, you know what sober means? They have the rule over you. You're to submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul. As they must give an account, Yahweh holds them responsible, that they may do it with joy. In other words, some people, it's a joy to go talk to them, because if they're out of order, they're going to straighten up and they'll love you more. You take a child. This is why the Bible says you must become like a little child. If you're proud and haughty and high-minded and you're carnal and you think nobody's above you and nobody's got a right to dress you down and correct you, but if you correct a little child, you know what they'll do? They'll love you the more. In 5 minutes, it's back up on your lap. You can take a switch and run them out. In 5 minutes, they're grown to that discipline and that love. They know you love them. I'm going to prove that in a minute. That they may do it with joy and not grief. For that is unprofitable for you. It's unprofitable for you if they have to do it with grief. And if you stir up the elders and get them on your trail, and they pay you a visit, or they call you in on the carpet, they don't do it in vain. Yahweh don't give them the rod of correction in vain. And the Bible says, whatsoever you bind in heaven shall be bound there. And if the elders say you're bound and you're not to go to heaven, you better believe one thing. You're going to have gate trouble. You should submit yourself to those that rule over you. And that's all for edification. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, this is Paul speaking about the. Did you know that he had the power to turn a man blind and told him how long he'd be for? Did you know that he told the high priest that slapped him in the face? You know what he said to that high priest? He said, Yahweh, you slapped me, but Yahweh will slap you. And it's not recorded what happened to that high priest. If we could back up and go back into the past and let your eyes behold what happened to that high priest that smote this prophet, this elder, this worthy man, I guarantee you, you'd fear. And you would fear a lot. I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which Yahweh hath given us for edification. The authority is for edification, to edify the body, and not for your destruction. He said, I should not be ashamed if I do it for your edification. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest any being present, that I should use sharpness, according to the power which Yahweh has given me to edification and not to destruction. Ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee you, we ain't playing no games here. We're having to give an account. The elders have to give an account. Submit yourself to them that have the rule over you. And let everything be done in decency and order. You don't want the elders to pay you a visit. If they have to come and see what's wrong, and he finds you out on the cold or indifferent or separated or puffed up or jealous or envious or strifeful, you better watch the warning You better read Hebrews 13, verse 17. I'll give it to you one more time because I feel the unction of the Holy Ghost here. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul. But let everything in 14:10 or 14:40 in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done in decency and in order. That's the ecclesiastic authorized to establish an order in the ecclesia or the body of the Messiah. Exercise your spirit in charity and love and mercy and judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they have known it, they would not have crucified the Messiah from glory. A body of elders. You say, well, what about the sister? Well, let's read a scripture to here, and this is not to be a slur to our sisters. Because a man needs a good woman, a body, but Christ needs a bride. And a woman typifies the bride. She's under subjection. She submits. The authority of the word of Yahweh. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. 1 Corinthians 14:34. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usher up authority over the man, but to be in silence. 1 Timothy 2:12. Let the younger women be taught by the elder women. Let them show them an example. Like I said last night, when they come to the prayer room, let the younger women observe the older women, who gets on their knees and covers their head in shame and humility, remembering what their mother did when she uncovered her veil, took the veil off, and revealed the power. And for this cause, the Bible said, a woman should have power in her head because of the angels. And long hair is given for a covering. That's what the Bible said. You know, there's nothing like the power of the long hair on a woman. But if it's covered, it's something that you can know for sure that the discipline of the assembly, which is called the ecclesia, is difficult. It's a hard saying, and who can hear it? But when we get used to it, when we run the race, when we become hardened soldiers, when we, the Bible says that bodily exercise profits little. I mean, that's just a worldly thing. You go into the gym and you build up your body and you get you a six-pack of abs, as it's very popular now for men and women both to do that. That profits a little. In the spiritual thing, you should be as responsible for your spiritual fitness as you are your physical fitness. And, of course, your mental condition should be evaluated every day, because the Bible said, study to show yourself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Discipline in the ecclesia is not punishment. Just like when I went into the basic training in my first 8 weeks, I thought it was literal hell. I didn't know who had given this ungodly heathen, Sergeant Duncan, the authority to boot me in the tail any time he wanted to, and order me to carry a pillow around with a piece of coal in on it, and whatever they catch you with. It might be your rifle, bayonet, it might be your cigarette lighter. I mean, they would make you an example for a week. Who gave them the power? Discipline in the ecclesia is not punishment. It is discipline, and discipline is designed to train and condition you you and restore your faith, that you might grow up as a calf in the stall and become a man or a woman and put away your childish bickering. I hate bickerers. Discipline is based on the holy character of God Himself. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Yahweh formed a pattern of holiness. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Holy about what? All of the discipline that the area of where you should be in Yahweh is you should be ready at His command. If you're lackadaisical, if you're indifferent, if you're separated, if you're cold, if the only time you want to go and serve Yahweh is when there's a group you can gather up and eat and drink, and then somebody of importance comes around and you betray the whole group just to satisfy one person. That's a Judas goat. And the world's full of them. They sell out every day for a piece of bread. Yahweh wants you to be set apart. You know what set apart means? That in the unction of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost ecclesia is a set apart people. It's important, and it's for the necessity of the discipline that the ecclesia needs. The ecclesia is to clean out the leaven of malice, wickedness, hatred, violence, jealousy, puffed up, the flesh, the works of the flesh. When you fail to exercise discipline in the ecclesia, you lack awareness and concern for the holiness of Yahweh. Be ye holy, for I am holy. The ecclesia is to be patterned after and based upon the divine commands of Scripture. As it's recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, and we know that the command that Yahweh gives us on His directive on how, on why, and when, and where the church discipline is to begin and end. Remember, obey them that have rule over you, for they carry not the rod in vain. And if they pronounce it upon you, I mean, they're not going to basically physically attack you. But if they tell you that the rod's laid up for your back, and they're going to turn you over to Satan, that your flesh be corrected, you can believe one thing. You're in for a long day or a long night. Exercise your responsibility. Take authority. Demonstrate. Do not prove yourself to have a lack of obedience and belief in the authority of Yahweh. And strive to enter in at a straight gate, for many will strive and not be able. And you understand that? Strive to enter in, for many will strive and not be able. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a reason why that the ecclesia needs the disciplines of the body. You know, the church is no stronger than the weakest link if we're a chain. And, you know, we hold hands a lot in our circles. And when we pray, we hold hands. And you can feel the heartbeat of your brother next to you. And Judas had a heart. It beat. But it wasn't the heartbeat of the Father. It was the heartbeat of Satan. Be sure your sins find you out. The church discipline, or the ecclesiastic discipline, should be patterned after the divine commands of the Holy Scripture. A failure to exercise the responsibility demonstrates a lack of obedience and belief and authority to Yahweh. As for me and my house, David said, we're going to serve Yahweh. Remember, if you're always saying and you never do that, well, I'm going to pledge this and I'm going to do that, but you never live up to it, you're like sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. If you say you love your brother, then run your brother off and him cold living naked and destitute, and you're living somewhere nice and warm, and you've got it all figured out. I guarantee you one thing. When Satan comes and knocks on your door, you'll pray and wish that he had never come into your heart through your disobedience to the disciplines that Yahweh has commanded you to do. You want to bring glory to Yahweh. You want to enhance. And your testimony in the flock should be your word and your bond. And you should perform those vows that you made. You're to restore. You're to heal. You're to have pity. You're to be tender-hearted. You're to be just. You're to be kind. You're to be faithful. You shouldn't be proud and dotting about, busybodying, gossiping, bickering, whispering and backbiting and hating. You're the despiser of Yahweh. You're not the epitome of Yahweh. You are going the opposite way in the negative of what a creator God is all about. You're to heal. You're to build up those lesser than you. If you're stronger than them, get under them. Don't get over them. Lift them up. Don't put your foot on them like a Rehoboam. When Israel asked for mercy, you know what he gave them? More taxes. More pressure. More performance. I'm over you. I'm your master. Obey me. I'm somebody. You know what happened to Mr. Rehoboam? Yahweh rent the kingdom right out of his hand. And if you want to lose your kingdom ability to serve and honor Yahweh, then you get pride. You know what the result of pride is? When pride enters your mind and your heart, do you know what the Bible says? Pride goes before a fall. You're bound to fall. Restore, heal, and build up. Don't tear down. Don't bicker. Don't backbite. Don't gossip. Man, grow up and be a man. Stand on your feet and let your word be your bond and keep your mouth shut. Be swift to hear. You got two of those and just one thing to talk out of. So you should hear twice the amount of your talking. And if you talk it, you better walk it, because the elders have got eyes on you. Don't think that they ain't watching you. They might not say nothing. But you can believe one thing. If they got the Holy Ghost and they're discerning, they watch your life. They watch for your soul. That's what the Bible said. And they'll know you by your fruit. If you want a healthy faith and sound doctrine, that's what you need. Or you want a diseased body or cancer growing among you. If you want to win brothers, then you've got to stand up and be a beacon and let your light shine. Remember, you're the candle, or you're the light reflecting it. You're to stand against false teachers, because false teachers will come in and set a lower standard, and you're to speak against that. You're to set an example for the ecclesia. You promote godly fear, as it's recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. You're to protect the ecclesia against the destructive consequences that occur when the ecclesia fails to carry out church discipline. A church that fails to exercise discipline experiences four losses. And let me tell you what they are. The loss of purity. Church discipline is vital to the purity of the body, and its protection from moral decay and the impure doctrinal influences. Because a little leaven levels the entire lump. You have one pulling out and one ain't, well, I ain't going because of so-and-so. And if you let so-and-so knock you out, then so-and-so's closer than you are. Be a man. Grow up. Quit bickering. Quit complaining. Quit murmuring, Israel. That's a trend that Israel's always had. Get rid of it. Grow up. Discipline yourself. Be a man. Stand in the gap. Make up the hedge. Be there. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 through 7. It's a rotten apple problem. It's a effect. You let a little rumor, a little gossip. It's like a little snowball. But you let them start rolling down the hill, and first thing you know, you've got you a tremendous ball of confusion rolling through the ecclesia. The Corinthian church, it showed a lack of concern for purity. That's the one that Paul said, put this brother away from you. Turn him over to Satan. They had a lack of the ecclesia at the Corinthian church. The Corinthians engaged in lawsuits. How dare you to bring your brother before the court? Bring him before the elders, and I guarantee he'd be wishing that he was in a court. He'd have more justice in a court than he would before the brothers. They misused their liberty. They profaned Yahweh's supper, the cup. Profaning the cup, they lifted up the cup. They took their vows. They promised purity. They promised discipline. They promised to love the body like itself. And then they turn right around and want to cut one of the members off. You ought not to do that, ladies and gentlemen, because you're neglecting. You're a snowball going down the hill to hell. And you've got about as much chance of lasting as a snowball would last in hell. In the Gospel of Joshua, chapter 7, the sin of Achan. It was demonstrated. And the sin of Achan can get in the body and cause a schism, just like it did. And then Yahweh had to step in, and he told Joshua, he said, draw a line in the sand. Oh, my. Discipline must be done by those who are spiritual. Walking by the Holy Spirit and growing in Yahweh. Galatians 6:1. Read that verse right there. Done by those who are spiritual to restore such a one that has failed from grace and counted the blood of the King. That's, you know what the blood is? It's family. But you go against your own blood. If you're spiritually bonded through the blood of Yahweh and born from above, not again, you do it with a spirit of humility, gentleness, patience. Look into yourselves, lest you should be tempted. Galatians 6:1-2. 2 Timothy 2:24-25. Discipline is done without bias. Don't do nothing in the spirit of partiality. Don't have respect of persons. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. And those who walk disorderly are to be admonished, warned, appealed to in love. And the admonishing is not restricted to the church leaders, but may be done by any person in the body with another if that person is uncontrollable or out of order. And if they won't hear you, take a brother as a witness. If they won't hear them, then you bring it to the body. And it'll be dealt with. But remember this. Discipline in the name of Yahweh always includes a period to repent. And if they repent, forgive them. If not, turn them over to Satan, to a reprobated mind. And that's the power of the church of the key that was given to guide the character of the body. Let it be wholesome and no rotten apple among us, to cleanse the body and to renew it, to strengthen it, and to walk upright and be men and quiet yourself, and women, not going about dotting and daining here and there and dangling in here and there, spending more money for the world than you do for Yahweh. If you won't carry your weight and pay your tithes and offerings, you're not a worthy person, no way. I've seen some people, I've been around some people for years, I've never seen them go in their back pocket and pull a bill out and put in an offering. Oh, I ain't got it right now. Oh, God. I'll give it when I get it. Yeah. They never get it. You know why? Because they don't want to. They're not sanctified. They're not disciplined in the unction of the Spirit. The Spirit is kind, gentle, patient, charitable. You know what charity is? Suffers long, kind, envious. It's not envious. It's not the desires of vainglory. It's not puffed up. I love men like that. I love women like that. The body is to exercise the group in a way that they can have fellowship and joy. But it's not all fellowship and joy, because the goal of restoration is that the body has to be examined regularly to see if it's in the faith. Examine yourself, the Bible said, to see if you're sound in the faith. Luke chapter 3, verse 8, bring forth fruits meant with repentance. Acts 26, verse 20, and that they should repent and turn to God, performing the deeds appropriate to the repentance. You can tell a man if he's really repented. He become a doer and a believer. I trust that you have heard our message tonight. I've got to get off here. My time is far and gone. And if you'd like to have this three-part series in church discipline, self-discipline, spiritual and mental and physical disciplines, of the 3 hours that I have ministered on this subject, if you'd like to have it, just write Pastor Buddy tonight at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight here on a Wednesday evening, live around the world on WWRB, sponsored by Dr. Gary and Brother Paul. You can call me, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to do that, then give me a call. It's not too late. This old gray-headed shepherd is, you know, I'm fit to be tied. I've got energy and spunk and desire. I've got grit. I've got a mental and a physical and a spiritual attitude to please the Father. I don't want to be a rotten apple in the barrel. I don't want to be cast out as unprofitable salt. I want to earn my stripes, like the first sergeant told me. He said, you be a good soldier and keep your nose clean and your mouth shut and your ears open. And when your superiors talk, you listen, and then you run to obey. That's what Yahweh's looking for. Somebody that'll stand in the hedge, in the gap, and make up the hedge. Somebody that's ready to mount up with the wings of an eagle. Somebody that's always willing to go in the... I know men by... You test them by the ability of their charity for the group and the fellowship. That's how you know them. Man, when they go in that back body, that's a gift of helps. That's a man that's been to the fountain. That's a man that is contended for the faith. That's a man that knows what the value of being a hardened soldier is. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's wonderful to know that you pass from death into life. I'm sponsored by Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. A great man, a wonderful man, a very charitable man, a giving man, a caring man, a knowledgeable man. He's been my friend for a long time. Brother Paul, same thing. Charitable, grateful, humble, but ready to stand in the gap and sponsor the shepherd's call. Brother Paul, 1-800-253-2748. I'll see you Friday night around the world on WWRB 3.185. And may Yahweh take a liking to you. May you know that you pass from death into life because you love Yahweh. I'll assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that Yahweh's a strong tower, and the righteous, well, they run into it, and they're safe. I love you tonight. My prayer's for you. Let's get the body Let's clean it up. Let's suck it up. Let's salute the great master in heaven and tell him we're soldiers. Let's go to the mountaintop. I love you. I'll see you on Friday night. Yahweh bless you. It's my prayer.